Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, right at the end of the movie, The Shining, the camera moves to show a picture on the wall. It's of people standing in a ballroom in what might be the 1920s, and Jack Nicholson's character is standing at the front of the crowd. Now, the photograph is a real one. Nicholson's face was superimposed onto it. But where does the picture come from? Film buff Alasdair Sparks enough to find out. Alasdair, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The photograph that is at the end of The Shining, what does it mean in terms of the narrative of the film?
Oh, well, there's been an awful lot about that. It is an uncanny, odd ending to the film, mysterious and a lot of interpretation. The dominant view is that it shows Jack Torrance, Jack Nicholson, reincarnated back into the past of the hotel, so he's been perhaps repossessed by the hotel, or maybe he was always there all along. The sort of possibilities are almost legion once people get going.
And Kubrick is famous for having kept copious notes on everything, but was there absolutely no record of this photograph or its provenance?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Stanley Kubrick archive at the University of London is full of bits of paper, receipts and all sorts. But on this particular topic, they have prints of the photograph that was used in the film, but they have very, very little to indicate where it came from, what the original photograph that Jack Nicholson was pasted into showed. It was really a sort of standing mystery about the film.
And so where was your starting point then to try and discover where the real photograph came from?
I'd always been interested in this, partly because I grew a little fed up with reading online that it proved the secret message of the film was a cult, or it proved that the secret message of the film was that it was all about a conspiracy of American bankers and financiers, and these were the other people that you could see in the photograph. And one day online, in a discussion about it on a Reddit forum, I just felt, I'm going to actually see if I can find out a bit more about this. And eventually someone suggested using facial recognition software. They did, and they actually discounted the result. They got a name and they thought, it doesn't actually look like him. And I thought, well, I think it does look like him. I'm going to take it a bit further. And by digging out more of the history of the man who was apparently identified, I was able to confirm it was actually him.
Yeah, and who was he?
He's a man whose name was Santos Cassani, or at least that's his stage name, Santos Cassani. He was a very, very famous ballroom dancer in London and indeed in the United Kingdom in the 1920s and 1930s. But today he's almost completely forgotten and unknown.
Is it correct that, like, his face was scarred to a degree, and was that from his time during World War II?
Yes. What allowed me to confirm the facial recognition software, which, after all, is just an online tool, it can produce false positives, was that when I looked into Mr. Cassani, I found that his original name was John Goldman, that he'd served in the RAF in World War I as John Goldman and had been seriously wounded in an aircraft accident. His face had been badly mangled. He'd had a lot of plastic surgery. And that left very distinctive scars on his face, which matched the scars, the disfigurements on the face of the man who was in the original Shining photo. And I should say at this point, we knew who the man underneath Jack Nicholson was because that photograph, a fragment of the photograph, had emerged in 2012. So we had something to go on in order to make a comparison, but we still didn't know where was the photograph taken, what event did it show, did it sort of confirm or deny all the various theories that had been mooted over the years.
Yeah, and where was the photograph taken?
It was taken at a St. Valentine's dance at a ballroom called the Empress Rooms, which was part of the Royal Palace Hotel in Kensington, London.
Huh.
Sadly demolished, as if it still existed, it would be a bit of a holy grail for fans of The Shining. They'd be booked out, not yes. least on Valentine's Day.
And is there? Does anyone know why that particular photograph came to be used?
Not really. We know that Kubrick looked at lots of photographs. And one of the odd things in this whole story is that when I found the face, I then thought, I'll look for the place. So I looked at literally hundreds and thousands of photographs of ballrooms and nightclubs and theaters, all without success. I could not find a match for the Shining photograph. I then thought I would simply ask surviving members of the crew. And I wasn't very enthusiastic about doing this because I thought, surely they've been asked already.
Mm.
Surely if they knew, we would know. And I found a guy called Murray Close who took the photograph of Jack Nicholson, which was pasted into the original photograph. And he told me he got it from the BBC Hulton Photo Library.
Huh.
They are now part of Getty Images. I went to Getty Images and said, do you have any photographs licensed by Stanley Kubrick? Round about 1978, 79, 1980. They went and looked and they found a photograph. It had Santos Cassani in it, and it was a completely different photograph. I was absolutely gobsmacked by this.
Uh-huh.
It was not the photograph I'd been looking for. It was the man. He was in a ballroom. He was within a crowd in a ballroom, but it was not the photograph. So that told me that Kubrick had clearly looked at quite a few photographs and had, in fact, licensed two of them. The one that Murray Close had said, the one that's in the movie, and this one, which nobody had seen before. And at that point, it looked like the photograph had been lost because Getty could not find it. They'd looked and they'd found this other one, but they couldn't find the one in question. So I asked them to look again, and they very kindly did, and I must appreciate their efforts in this. And they discovered that they'd changed their filing system. So that meant that if they sort of used a different filing system, they could locate it. And on April the 1st, April Fool's Day, they finally did find it. And like all photographs, the details were recorded from the agency that took the photograph, and that told me where it came from. But why Kubrick chose this particular picture? He said in interviews, because it looked archetypal, that the people in it sort of looked so much like people from the 1920s because they were.
Mm.
Apparently, he did try to stage the photograph himself with extras dressed up in 1920s clothing, and it just didn't look real to him.
How interesting. And of the two photographs that that were licensed by Kubrick for this, do you get any sense of why he chose one over the other?
Possibly because the one he rejected had a very famous person in it, a man called Primo Carnera, who was a famous boxer of the time. And I suspect if he'd used the picture with Carnera, people would simply have recognized him. It's as much as if you'd used a picture of Muhammad Ali from the 1970s. People would just know, and it would lose that archetypal anonymity that I think Kubrick was looking for.
What?
But it is odd that he did license his two pictures, and I'm pleased to have discovered that, because that was completely unknown before.
Well, congratulations on the detective work. That was Alasdair Spark there, a retired American Studies lecturer at the University of Winchester. Alasdair, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.